From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, May 21st. I'm Abby Larico. A Florissant man who arrived in the United States when he was 4 years old was recently pulled over for a traffic stop in O'Fallon, Missouri. Now he's being deported to Mexico.
I'm not a criminal. I've never stepped foot in jail, never been incarcerated. I don't think it's fair that the way the government is treating me and treating people like me. You know, when we didn't have a choice to come.
Now, his family plans to follow him. Victor Lopez de Lara shares his story from the St. Genevieve County Jail. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis County health leaders say detainees at the county jail may no longer have access to health care. That's if the county council doesn't approve funding for contracted medical staff. The council cut the St. Louis County Justice Center's budget for this year, along with those of several other departments. County Public Health Director Kanika Cunningham sent jail residents a letter this week saying they could experience delays in receiving care if the council doesn't approve $2.8 million in funding.
The individuals here deserve access to quality health care. That is their right, and that is what I'm advocating for, and I will continue to do that as a physician because they deserve it.
Cunningham says the money would help to maintain contracted nursing staff, which makes up 70% of medical staff at the jail. She says the council has until the end of June to restore funding. Data center opponents in Festus have filed recall petitions for the mayor and three council members there. STLPR's Katie Gravich reports.
It's the latest retaliation against city council members who voted in favor of a proposed hyperscale data center. But legal counsel for the Festus leaders says the petitions do not state a valid reason for recall. Chuck Hatfield is the lawyer representing the elected officials. He says voters can only petition for a recall in the case of misconduct, incompetence, or failure to perform duties.
The reason that these folks in Festus want to recall my clients appears to be that they disagree with their decisions. And that is not a reason to recall somebody in the middle of their term.
Hatfield says his clients may pursue litigation if the petition is approved by the county clerk's office next week. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
Google is planning to build a $15 billion data center in Montgomery County. Yesterday, Governor Mike Kehoe said the investment shows Missouri has become a, quote, destination for innovation and next-generation technology. The data center is expected to create thousands of temporary construction jobs and hundreds of long-term roles. County economic development leaders also hope it will bring in more tax revenue for schools and other public services. The governor's office says Google will have to pay for all of the energy the data center uses and new infrastructure costs to serve it. That's to comply with a law passed last year. But groups who oppose that law say it does not guarantee residents won't see rate hikes. The law allows electric utilities to charge customers for power plants before they're finished and lets the state's Public Service Commission decide what costs are reasonable. The data center is likely to face some backlash from residents. A community group filed a lawsuit in February over another data center proposed in the county by Amazon. Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth says the ongoing war in Iran should end immediately. Duckworth called on Congress yesterday to do everything in its power to stop the war. As St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, the Democrats' remarks come one day after the Senate voted to take up a resolution that would limit President Donald Trump's ability to continue the war.
Duckworth says the war has been a mistake that failed to achieve the White House's goals and runs counter to Trump's campaign promises.
The problem we have here in Washington is that I have colleagues here who continue to vote for Donald Trump's ideas and not to protect the well-being of the men and women who defend this great nation.
The Iraq War veteran believes Iran partially controlling the Strait of Hormuz and high gas prices have left Americans off worse than before the war. Duckworth and her Democratic colleagues are hopeful they can convince the Senate to eventually pass a war powers resolution after winning the procedural vote by a small margin. The House would also need to pass the legislation, but the president could veto it. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Cardinals are capitalizing on the tarps off trend at Busch Stadium. The team announced yesterday that it's created an official high-energy fan section in the upper right field bleachers. Any ticketed fan, regardless of their seat location, will be allowed to participate. Shirts optional. The tarps off trend began last week with a group of club baseball players from Stephen F. Austin State University. The club was in town for a tournament. They sat in right field and celebrated the Cardinals by taking off their shirts. Their tarps, you know. Cardinals embraced the movement, including manager Ollie Marmol. He bought tickets for the team to attend the next game and even invited them to the clubhouse. The Cardinals haven't said how long they'll be keeping the new section. From the Cards to the Blues. BB's Jazz, Blues, and Soups came back to life for 2 hours yesterday afternoon. The club south of downtown closed in 2024 after decades as a hub for St. Louis Blues musicians and fans. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports now they're rehearsing for a revival.
A packed house drank in every note as Marquise Knox sang with a group of local blues all-stars. Knox will book the bands at the revived BB's following a planned reopening in September. St. Louis Blues Society chairperson John May was managing partner at BB's for years.
I was afraid the whole culture that we celebrated was going to fade away. This will be a resurgence and a resurrection of the whole blues and jazz community in the city of St. Louis.
The owners of Broadway Oyster Bar around the corner have BB's under contract to buy. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
A 29-year-old Florissant man who came to the United States when he was 4 years old is now being deported to Mexico. ICE agents detained Victor Lopez de Lara after a traffic stop earlier this year. Now his fiancé and two children are preparing to follow him to Mexico. St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis spoke with Lopez de Lara by phone from the St. Genevieve County Jail. I sat down with Chad to talk about it. Chad, you've been covering Victor Lopez de Lara's case for a bit now. Remind us how he landed in custody.
So he was pulled over by O'Fallon police in February. And when he was pulled over, officers said that he did not have a front license plate. After that, they looked for his driver's license, and he does not have one because he does not have legal status.
And I knew what was coming. I knew that, you know, at the moment I left that my vehicle, you know, they were going to call ICE. And, you know, I was going to get detained by ICE. It was something so simple and so small that, you know, they could have just given me a ticket for it and let me go on my way.
And so he's been detained in St. Genevieve since then.
How did the judge come to his decision to deport Lopez de Lara?
So Lopez de Lara has a fiance, he has two children, and when I spoke with him and the family, they pretty much said that, well, because the children are in good health, because they were able to prove that they were good parents and that they were solid parents and they were able to take care of the children, they can adapt.
And it was hard when they said that was the only reason why, you know, I didn't get approved. They didn't take into consideration how long I've been here, you know, how long my wife's been here, how long I've been here. I've been here for 26 years, never had any problems, never had a felony, never had any charges. You know, it was hard. It was really hard when he came to that decision.
Wow. So what happens next here?
He's been transferred to Greene County, and from there, he could go to another ICE detention facility before he's actually deported to Mexico. Mm-hmm. It's kind of unknown where or when that will be.
So this is a family that's moving far away from a community that's been very supportive of them, it sounds like.
Yeah. Actually, both his fiance and the lawyer talked about how there were letters, almost 50, that talked about his character, the type of person he was. He doesn't have a criminal record. He's only had like 2 traffic violations in his life. And, you know, there are a lot of people who were talking about how just much of a good person he was. Talked about how he was a Little League coach. There were teachers, former teachers, who talked about how he was just a great student and how they loved him. And so they were all really hoping that these letters, that all of these messages would, you know, kind of change the outcome and that he would be able to stay in the United States with his family.
Hmm. Chad, when you spoke to Victor on the phone from the jail, how's he doing?
He's tired. He's exhausted. He's anxious. He's scared. You know, he only knows the United States. He arrived here when he was 4 years old.
I don't know what the future holds for me. I'm scared. I'm getting anxiety. But it's hard having to be away from your family for 3 months. And, you know, now more than ever, you know, having to be away from your family, not being able to be there for the holidays, the birthdays, it's going to be even harder.
Is there any chance he could appeal this?
He's already been in jail for 2 to 3 months. The appeal process could take 8 months, additional months. And also, if the judge made the ruling that because your kids are healthy and because you guys are good parents, and that's the reason why you'll be able to adapt when you move to Mexico, a lot of that isn't going to change in those 8 months.
And you said that he only knows the United States. Mm-hmm. Do they know anyone in Mexico?
No. They don't have family there. They don't have friends there. They don't have ties. They may have distant relatives, but these aren't people that they've grown up with. This isn't a community they've grown up with. The kids don't know anyone there. So it's going to be a complete shift in their life when they move to Mexico.
Of course, there's the question, if he's been here since he was a child, why isn't he a U.S. citizen yet?
That's a great question. There's a lot of complexities with that. For one, he was not eligible for DACA because he did not finish high school.
The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program.
Exactly, correct. So because he didn't finish high school, he wasn't able to, he did not qualify for DACA. The other thing, too, is people have to remember the quote-unquote legal process is a long process. That can take 10 years at minimum sometimes. It can take even longer than that. And it's an expensive process, too, with legal fees and lawyers that you'll have to pay. So it's not like some quick process that I think a lot of people may imagine. And again, with DACA and with other programs, there's a lot of stipulations that are, you know, attached to that.
Mm-hmm. Chad Davis, you've been following this reporting for us. Thank you for bringing us insight into that conversation with Victor Lopez de Lara, who's being deported after a traffic stop in St. Charles County.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
You can find more of Chad's interview at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.